Father, thank you for joining us here tonight. We look forward to our pastor, visiting Pastor Hull, as he brings a message tonight, Father. Just anoint him with the fruit of your word, Father, that it touches and reaches the hearts of each one that's here. And Father, bless Pastor Mike and Denise as they begin their journeys to Texas and perhaps back here for a while. But Father, they've been such a blessing to us, and we thank you, Father, for sending them. Thank you for the ministry that they have started to assist the Second Wind ministry, Father, and just bless their ministry, Father. Bless it largely. And Father, we give you thanks in advance for what you can do with that. And Father, now as we worship you in our tithes and offerings, Father, thank you for the opportunity and privilege we have of giving back a portion of what you've given to us. And we thank you for that pleasure, that gift that we have been given, Father, and that privilege, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Bible tonight, if you will, and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As you're turning there, I want to, on behalf of me and my wife, just thank you for your hospitality and your love for us. Our desire is to encourage pastors and churches, and you have encouraged me in this ministry. We stepped out and we're wondering, I know it's needful. I know the blessings and the blisters from pastoring. 25 years, and many times my flesh wanted to quit. Just walk away. Lord, I can't do it. And so I know what a pastor goes through. And I don't know if it's fortunate or unfortunate, many of you do not know what a pastor goes through. You see him on Sunday, he's ready to preach, and he does his best. You don't know his heart as far as he's hurting, what he's going through. Is he going through the motions as far as to physically be there, but allowing the Spirit to do the preaching and the ministering? But I don't think you know how many preachers walk away and quit in the ministry. And tonight, that's, I already presented that. I want to share with you a passage of Scripture, because I think so many of us don't, not that we don't know, we don't even try to know what a pastor goes through. And I know I've been here 3 or 4 times in the last couple of years, and almost every single time your pastor says, like, I know 100 churches without a pastor right now. I know 2 in Alaska. One is 3 miles down the road from my church, and the other one's a couple hours away, that do not have a pastor. And one of them doesn't want a pastor. They want somebody to just come in and preach, tickle their ears, and then call it good. And they're paying handsomely so to come in and preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and then disappear. And then come back next Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesday night, disappear. We don't want you to lord over us. We don't want you to shepherd us. We just want to be able to check the box. We played church and somebody came and preached. So the longer a church is without a pastor, I'll say more damage is done to the church. Tonight I want to preach a message for the pastor, to the pastor, and to the congregation. And as Daryl said so eloquently the other night, it's always been to me first. When I come through a passage and I'll struggle with it because, like, Lord, I don't want to preach that. Especially if it's about me. It's about the pastor. It's very difficult for a pastor to get up and, I won't say it's difficult, it's Bible, it's easy to preach it. But when it talks about you, it's a little more difficult. I pray tonight will be a blessing for all of us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of day. Ye are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Let's pause for a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you once again for this opportunity. I pray you will speak through me. Lord, I pray you'll speak to your people and encourage us once again in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The context here, You're going to find out where I'm going in a moment. The return of Jesus Christ is going to be the most phenomenal event in all of human history. It'll be the most amazing and spectacular event ever witnessed by the eyes of man. Its importance cannot be overstated, for when Christ returns, both the blessing and the judgment of God will fall upon the earth. Genuine believers will be blessed, and unbelievers will suffer the wrath of God. Because of this, how a believer behaves while he is on earth matters greatly to God. This passage deals with the all-important subject of the Lord's return and the believer's behavior. If a person believes that Jesus Christ is returning soon, it will radically change his life, because your belief determines your behavior. Now, I'd assume tonight, and once again, I know that can be wrong, but look at this passage in chapter 4, the last few verses, that is talking about the rapture. And it's so exciting to think about that we're going to be caught up together. Wherefore, comfort one of these words. And then he goes into chapter 5, and he's talking about the day of the Lord and the coming of Christ, and that you're not ignorant, you're not in darkness, you know this stuff, you've been taught this stuff. And most of us in this room would say, amen, I know that. It's good stuff. Our preacher tells us that all the time. But what I want to concentrate is on verse 12 and 13. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace amongst yourselves. Tonight I want to talk about honoring the shepherd, but yet glorifying the Lord. Honoring the shepherd, yet glorifying the Lord. My desire, like I said, is to encourage preachers, encourage pastors and churches to stay in the fight, and to do so biblically. And I want to share tonight what the Word of God says to both of us. First of all, you see a laboring shepherd. That word, know them which labor among you. That means to, that when he says, I beseech you, that means I ask, I desire, I entreat, I pray. The believers are to know their leaders, to be whole, to be aware, to consider. It means to see with perception. It's more than just seeing, but also perceiving what they see, being able to comprehend and understand. He mentions three things about our leaders that we are to know. Know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. He mentioned these three things. The construction in the Greek text in them which labor among you indicates this is one group of people, the pastors, who discharge all three functions. It's not three different groups or three different functions. It says, first of all, to know about their work, which labor among you. Is it done? All right. That word labor, and I want you to, it was on the screen, I want you to hear this, is rendered from a word meaning to work, to fatigue, to toil until worn out, to be weary because of the labor, and to even be faint because of the labor. Most pastors fall into that category. When they labor among you, work to fatigue, toil till worn out, weary because of the labor, and even be faint because of it. Now, unfortunately, you may know, and I may know, there's charlatans in the ministry. But I want you to catch something. In the midst of talking about end times, in the midst of us getting excited, and I think obviously the older we get, even so, come Lord Jesus. I'm tired of the aches and pains. I'm tired of the cancer. I'm tired of whatever it is. I'm ready to go on to be with the Lord. In the midst of us, quote, getting excited about it and talking about the rapture and comforting one another, in the midst of this powerful passage, it stops and he says, I beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. So yes, we can get excited. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. There's no doubt. But in the midst of, woohoo, know them which labor among you. To me, that is so powerful that as Paul's writing, all of a sudden, in the midst of this, hey, you're not in the darkness, you're in the light. It's not going to take you by. You know what's going on. And by the way, know them that labor among you. And when I use that definition, to work to fatigue, to toil until worn out, to be weary because of labor, and even to be faint because of the labor, I would add, if you're not willing to work like that, do not desire the office of a bishop. Do not desire to be a pastor. It's easy to sit out there and be that armchair quarterback. Oh, I can do it better than that. I would have done it this way. I wouldn't have said that. I'd have preached this once again. Just like that armchair, what's a football game? We're like, why would you throw it there? You're an idiot. You don't know what you're doing. If you're not willing to labor like that, to fatigue, till faintness, do not desire the office of a bishop. I guess I don't need to put your clicker no more. A laboring shepherd. Number two, a leading shepherd. Know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. Not only their work, but their worth. This knowing of God's ministers has to do with recognition of a rank of this person. Over doesn't mean bossy. It means a responsible leader. A pastor leads by serving, by feeding, by guiding the flock. 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but an example to the flock. That's to the pastor. That's what he has to do. A shepherd who walks ahead of the sheep, clearing out the path, checking for danger, and calling them by name. That's leading by example. Those of us who are in the military, we all know about leading by example. We can all point to a supervisor, a sergeant, a commander that did not. And we thought, man, if I was ever there, I would do it differently. Well, use in the military, you'll get to that place. If you're worth your weight at all, all of a sudden you become a supervisor. And you start leading by example. I tell you what, when I was just a youth pastor, assistant pastor, getting up and preaching was just fun. Pastor was going to be gone, and I had an opportunity to, woohoo! This is the easy part. It's the shepherding part. The hours in counseling, the hours at the hospital. Yeah, and I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, you know, that's what we're there for. And sometimes you're at the hospital and you're making the visit and things seem good, you leave, and 4 hours later you get a phone call, things took a turn for the worse. And you get out of bed and you're going back up there because you want to be there for them. You want to be a blessing. You want to be a help. You want to lead by example. Pastors are the leaders. Knowing them involves recognizing them as leaders and submitting to their leadership and allowing them the authority so they can lead. If you remember my presentation, we had Moses here, and they were holding up. Moses was God's man, not these other two. And so they had to realize that he's the appointed one. And we want to assist. We want to know them that labor among us. They saw Moses, and he's getting weak. We got to go help him. We want to win the battle. We want to help. And once again, you go there. And you allow them to be the leader that God wants them to be. So this is both for the pastor. We've got a massive responsibility. We're going to answer to God for it. I can't say we all take that. Some may take that lightly. I don't take that lightly. Me standing here in his pulpit, I don't take lightly. Because I remember when I had to let somebody in and going, I'm going to answer for what that man says. Because I allowed them to get in front of my flock. And I've got to fix it, correct it, and do whatever I need to do. So to allow somebody else to get in this pulpit is a big deal. And I don't take it lightly. It says, know them which labor among you, who are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. That means to caution or reprove or to correct or chasten or even rebuke. Pastor just mentioned when he's talking to Rob, and he goes, I was harsh, or whatever the word he used, just point blank. Listen, this is what we need to do. This is how, I mean, whatever it may be. And that's not always easy, especially if somebody's hurting and has needs. But this, when you've got to come along and sometimes reprove them, chasten them, rebuke them, this involves the difficulty of dealing usually with dissidents in the church. People who actively challenge an established doctrine, policy, or position. I told you other one of the messages, I said, don't come to me after service and ask me something about the church. I'm not your pastor. It doesn't matter what I say. And I will tell you, well, what's your pastor say? People need to know about this task so they can support their pastor and other church leaders involved in this work. The word admonish is used also in verse 14 as warn. So when you think about ministry, know them that labor among you, which are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. Ministry is work. Spiritual, emotional, and physical. A good pastor doesn't just preach on Sundays. He prays, he visits, he teaches, he counsels, he comforts, and often sacrifices quietly. You're probably thinking, I've never seen him tired. I never seen him do this. He just comes in here, oh, his only thing's great. Amen, brother. I hope it's smooth sailing all the time. But when you get to know them, which labor among you. Remember I told you Moses didn't ask, hey, can somebody come help me? They saw a need, and they went and fulfilled it. Paul says, know them. Recognize, appreciate, and support those who labor. I hope you thank God for a pastor who stayed faithful in season, out of season. Can I tell you, your pastor didn't get here by accident? God placed him in the ministry and in this position. Acts 20:28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock of God, which the Holy Ghost hath made you an overseer, to feed the church of God that he hath purchased with his own blood. It's amazing. We read through verses and we get to those about our pastor. Man, hope he takes heed, therefore. Hope he realizes this. Hope he does that. And there's accountability. Your pastor should be obeying the word of God. But we have to look at that same fervency when it tells us that we need to do something. It's not just, Pastor, you're wrong, you did this wrong. What about us? Are we encouraging? Are we getting to know them and realize they're God's appointed authority over us? A laboring shepherd, a leading shepherd. Number three, a loving shepherd. Verse 13, and to esteem them very highly in love, for their work's sake. After knowing these leaders and their work and their worth, it behooves God's people to give honor to these leaders. Esteem them very highly. That means to deem, consider, count them very highly. The language is very strong. The pastor, as an example, needs to be given honor by the people. Churches that honor their pastor, I believe, prosper. And churches that abuse their pastor will not prosper, which also explains why many churches remain stagnant and ineffective. Pastors who preach the whole truth and labor in the word and doctrine are entitled to more than just respect. Paul commands them to be esteemed abundantly, superabundantly, and this is to be done in love. Back to the military. We had people that outranked us. We stood attention, saluted smartly. Sir, yes, sir. But not always in love. Not always in love. You did it because you didn't want to suffer the consequences. When I realize God's appointed a structure in the home and in the church. And when I say, God, I want to obey your word in love. There's to be much love in the honor. Honor that lacks love will soon cease to be honor. You probably heard the saying, I can give without love, but I cannot love without giving. But what's the cause of this esteem? For their works' sake. There's a double meaning here in this for their work's sake. It speaks, first of all, the character of the work. Working in the area of people's spiritual well-being is the most important work of all. I'll say that again. Working in the area of people's spiritual well-being is the most important work of all. It's a higher work than ruling a nation. No work anywhere compares to a work of dealing with the spiritual well-being of people's souls. But also speaks of the calling of their work. You know, we respect and honor doctors because of their work. How much more should we honor ministers whose calling is to help people's eternal soul? You can go see a doctor, you've got something wrong, they can cut it out and fix it and put it back or whatever it is, and life goes on, and you can still die and go to hell. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for medicine. Thank God for all of the healthcare workers and all that stuff. But if you're not told how much Jesus loves you, if you're not told he died for your sins, and if you call upon him, he'll save you. Pastor mentioned it again today about working the conversation back, whether at work, at the store, however it can be. Hey, it could just, hey, where do you go to church at? Somehow bring it back. Because I told you the other day when I was preaching, this is the last message I ever preached. I want to make sure you know there's only one way to heaven, and it's Jesus Christ. People are going to leave and go, well, that wasn't very friendly or nice, or I didn't like that, or whatever it is. But you heard there's one way to get there. Now, I realize in my presentation, every pastor's presentation, I'm sure a lot of it could probably be done maybe nicer or sweeter or more gentle. But I tell you what, it needs to be proclaimed. It needs to be proclaimed. The pastor is dealing with eternity and one's relationship with God, and nothing is more important. Paul didn't say esteem them because they're perfect, but because they're faithful, in which they are the representatives of him who is the great shepherd of the sheep. After years of preaching, leading, and praying, and standing, a pastor deserves honor not because of the title, but because of his testimony of laboring. This is not pastor worship. This is God-honoring appreciation and thankfulness. Once again, go back to the context. We're talking about Jesus coming again. Amen. Oh, by the way, know them. I beseech you, I beg, I implore, know them which labor among you. What's the rest of the verse, though? Who are over you in love, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Let not there be only peace between ministers and their flocks, but also no rivalries amongst yourself. Getting church members to backslide and then disrupt peace, cause fights and hard feelings amongst the members is another tactic of Satan to cripple the church's work. A verse that may change your life, Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention. If there's contention between you and your pastor, it's going to come back to pride, either on his part or on your part. And when you can submit to God saying, hey, that's the God-appointed man over our church, and he's going to give an account to God, And he wants to do the best he possibly can. And then we look at it, how can I help hold up his hands? But then coming back and realize, I need to know them which labor among me, that they're over me in the Lord, and admonish me. Thank God for a pastor to tell it like it is. Thank God a pastor will get it and boldly proclaim the word of God. You know how many churches don't have that? Don't have somebody to care for them, to visit them when they're in the hospital. I got a phone call one time. My pastor, when he told me when I moved to Alaska, he goes, go down to the funeral home and give me your card. Hey, if you ever have somebody that needs a pastor, call me. I'm thinking, cool. Good way to get in the community. Good way to get your name known as far as being able to, hey, I will come and I will help you. Then I got a phone call not shortly thereafter. And of course, my policy, I don't know every preacher, but I wanted to meet with the family prior to the funeral, talk to them, find out this person who I do not know, do they know the Lord? Do they have any Christian background? They have any church, but anything. And then it hit me. This person's gone through their life, now pass off the scene, and don't have a pastor. Don't have a preacher. And then I was like, you've spent your whole life, never stepped foot in a door? You don't have anybody? How did you make it? How did you go through life and not have a church? But it says, and be at peace amongst yourself. Satan tries to divide, but a church at peace is powerful. Your pastor said this morning that a unified church will be a thriving church. A healthy church is one where the pastor is supported and the people are united. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. He said this morning, a thriving church is where the word of God is preached. So your pastor's kind of lining up biblically, huh? But it goes back to us. Are we just hearers of the word, or are we going to be doers of the word? It's one thing pastor can go, man, he had 2 weeks off and he came back fired up and preached an extra 30 minutes. Imagine if he had 3 weeks off. We'd still be here from the morning service. It's amazing just what a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of a break, a little bit of, hey, I know what you're going through. It goes a long way. Because who's usually the one encouraging you? Who's the one coming to your bedside at the hospital, coming to your home for counseling or your marriage or finances or whatever it is, encouraging you to stay faithful, to stay in the race, to love God with all your heart, to just submit wholly. God, what would you have me to do? You've got a pastor that's there to do that. Don't take it for granted. Don't take advantage of it in assuming things. Because you look at he came to your house, he was your house for 3 hours. You know, he was at the hospital for 3 hours. He was over here for 3 hours. And he's still got to preach Wednesday night. There's got to be some study time. There's got to be family time. There's got to be united in his marriage. I showed you this verse the other night. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. We looked at this verse the other night, and you see a pastor has a huge responsibility, but so does the congregation. It's so easy to point at a pastor and look at all his mistakes and everywhere he's failed. And people jokingly, they'll tell pastors, man, you should write a book. I said, I could tell you the 1,000 things I've done that's failed. There's not a, here's how you pastor, I'll write this book and I know it all. No. How I failed. And I wish somebody that came alongside me. Pastor, I'm here for you. Let's go get some lunch. No, and I can't share all of my burdens with him, all of my counseling, all of my one-on-one, all of my behind-closed-door stuff, but you can get to know your pastor and just know, hey, I know it's been a rough week. I saw him preaching on Thursday morning. Hey, preacher, can I take you to lunch? Can we sit down and talk? Can I buy you coffee? Whatever it may be. I'm not saying take him to lunch. You're going to get a whole line of people tomorrow. Hey, that's not what I mean. Can we just have that one hand on the hand on the shoulder? I'm praying for you. Then go do that. Pray for them. Don't just say it. Pray for them. I think it still amazes me in the midst of end times, in the midst of the second coming, he still says, I beseech you, I beg, I implore you, know them which labor among you. Our whole ministry, because we've been there, the discouraged, about to quit pastor. And I may not be able to pastor full time anymore, but I can come alongside. And I encourage him. I told my wife, man, he's texted me 5 times and never once asked me about the church. She says, that's good, isn't it? I go, I don't know. I hope so. Because I know when somebody fills the pulpit, I'm calling, okay, how'd things go? Was so-and-so there? What happened? What do I need to know about? What fires I got to put when I get back? Talk to me. And they're like, everything went fine. I'm like, are you sure? I know my people. I know they're gonna corner you in the corner and grill you about something. Everything went fine. Like, praise the Lord. Tonight I want to encourage you. I want to encourage the pastor. The Lord sees your labor, your tears, your late nights. And you may not always feel appreciated. But can I tell you, heaven keeps perfect records. God knows. God knows. You stay faithful. Your reward's coming. Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I think too many preachers get up to that edge and then say, I quit. I can't do it anymore. You would reap if you fainted not. Stay in the race. But church, are we knowing them that labor among us? Are we wanting to know them that labor among us? And I say this because Pastor even said the other day, he's setting up things for the future. He's not always going to be the pastor. But if you're trained how to respond to the Word of God, how to recognize and acknowledge and appreciate the man of God, then it's already in place. So when it's God moves him on and moves somebody else in, we know how to treat our pastor. We know. We don't want to lose pastor again. Now there's sometimes death takes the pastor. Unfortunately, sometimes sin takes the pastor. But our eyes need to be on the Lord. You look to him as he follows the Lord. He's a man, he will fail, he will make mistakes, he'll disappoint you in some way, shape, or form. But then I got to think, how many times have I disappointed my pastor? How many times have I failed my pastor? How many times Pastor mentioned today again about examining ourselves. I told you, I preached a message, when the closer I get to God, the more I see my sin. Remember Isaiah, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and I said, woe is me. Woe is me. You get in your Bible. You get in your prayer time. You get alone with God. And when you're honest saying, God, I want to know your will for my life. Well, am I obeying his written will? Am I obeying what he's already instructed me to do? People want to know, what's my job and where do I move and what am I going to do? What am I doing right now? Am I obeying his written will? I want to encourage you. Just as much as I'm telling the pastor, yes, you need to labor. Yes, you need to be all these things. Yes, you need to do all these things. But our response should be the same way. If we're going to hold him to a standard and expect him, and I understand God's got qualifications, I understand that. But am I going to come alongside and know them that labor? Am I going to esteem them very highly for their work's sake? And will I be at peace amongst ourselves? Talk about this morning. Unity. I mean, how are we going to? Lost souls, unity, the preaching the Word of God. I gave you a whole outline today on how this church can thrive. Are we going to say, I'm getting behind you, Pastor. I'm getting behind you. We're going to do a soul winning program. I'll be there. Maybe not every single day or every single time, but when I am going to be there. If we're going to do this, if there's areas to step up when people are gone and what, it's a Sunday school class, amen. Lord willing, you get to a place where you won't have to have me come in. Pastor's got to be out of town. I got four men that could fill the pulpit. Amen. Wait. That means I have to study? Yeah. I got to actually prepare something? Yeah. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you just had to do like a children's church lesson or maybe a Sunday school and how long that took you? And you're going, Pastor's got to do this like all week long? How does he get all that stuff done and study? Exactly. How? I would encourage you, Pastor, tonight, recommit to the call God's placed on your life. Not just in the ministry, but at this church. And church, I'd encourage you in just a moment, whether you come to this altar or where you, right where you are, pray for your pastor. Thank God for placing him here. And then do that self-examination. Am I obeying the Word of God and being a doer of the Word? Because we'd probably all say, I want to glorify God. I want to glorify the Savior. I want Jesus to be pleased with my life. But if he just said, are you obeying my word? Well, some of it. That's stuff I like. The stuff I agree, whatever. I want to thank you for the love that I know you have for your pastor. I know tonight you're probably going, we're the core group. We're here on Sunday night. You should be happy we came because you're preaching. And I am. I'm very grateful. But I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm going to go to another church that's hurting. Another church that may just need encouragement. I've been talking to the missionary in Sri Lanka. He is so excited we are coming. He is so excited. His wife's texting my wife. How are we gonna do? We can go. We're gonna minister this church. We're gonna go to this church. We're gonna go here. We're gonna go this. We're asking, okay, what's the dress requirement? Is it a suit? It's 90 degrees, like every day, all day, in humidity. And I'm like, please tell me it's not a full suit. Tell me it's just a shirt and tie. But I told him just this last phone call. I said, sir, we're here to serve you. We're coming to serve you. Whatever you need. You need me to preach? I'll preach. You want me to sit there and say amen for you? I'll be your biggest fan. If we're going to go make visits, house call, I'll go with. If you want me to, I'll go with you. I'll be the silent partner. I'll sit there. I'll just be praying the whole time. Whatever you need. I tell you what. When you can, I think Paul, when he talked about, he's a bond slave for Jesus. Whatever you want. I'll do it to the best of my ability. I may not be the fastest, the quickest, the best, the smartest, the whatever, but I can come alongside you and say, I got your back. I'm here for you. What can I do to help? Because I want God to be glorified in my life, in our church, in our ministry. I struggled with this message for 3 weeks now. I was like, it's not ready yet. And I wasn't going to preach it. And then I was done. He said, how about Sunday night? I was like, okay, God. All I can tell you is I know what it was like when I pastored and how easy it was to become discouraged. I know you think, pastors, you should be so close to God, nothing bothers you. Remember, we're still human. When somebody says bad things, it still hurts. When they call you bad names, it still hurts. Well, you should armor up. Those fiery darts keep coming. The devil comes along and tells you you're no good. You shouldn't be. God made a mistake when he called you. You never mount anything. Your church doesn't even like you. And just all the lies of the devil. Don't act like you don't know, because he does the same thing to you. You're no good. How can God ever use you? You know what you've done, God. They don't know all your sin. I know all your sin. God can't use you. But all is just need somebody to come alongside us and encourage us and help us. And yes, a pastor can do that. But when there's unity in the church and there's peace amongst yourselves, I mentioned the other night about somebody that gone through cancer can be the best witness of somebody who's going through cancer. I can come alongside and say, I'm here for you, I'm praying for you, but I've never been there. But I have a lady in our church who's been through that. And she said, I could give you her number, and she can come and help you. So I encourage you tonight. I don't know how the Lord may have used this in your life. I know it's been a massive help in mine. And even as I was pastoring, but now I'm going to those that labor and know their work and know their and help them in any way I can and submit to their ministry and to their leadership. And then, Lord willing, I can go down to the next church and help them. But I want God to get all the glory. It's not, honey, look what I've done. I encourage this church. God, I can't believe you used me to encourage a church. Encourage a pastor to go another Sunday, to go another 6 months, to go another year, to stay in the race. I want to encourage you to do the exact same thing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for your word and for your truth. I thank you for this pastor. I thank you for his friendship and just our bonding over so many things that we are like-minded. Lord, I thank you for this church and their love they do have for their pastor. Lord, I know the devil wants to attack. He wants to cause division. We're not ignorant of his devices. Lord, help us to have such great unity in the church. And as Pastor proclaims the truth of the Word of God, help us to be obedient to it. And Lord, may you be magnified and glorified for what's done in Harvest Baptist Church. And Lord, as I think about the future and the potential and the desire to see people saved, to reach the community around us, all these apartment buildings, all these homes going up, Lord, those are people who are going to need a church. They're sheep wandering around without a shepherd. God, help us to encourage our shepherd, the man of God. Help equip him with the tools he needs, Lord, that we can see souls saved for the glory of God. Lord, I thank you once again for this church, and I pray you'll use them mightily. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We'd stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. Like I said, I'm encouraging the pastor to recommit. I'm encouraging you the same thing. You think about that in the military, they want you to re-enlist. Thank you. You may already be in the Lord's army, but I encourage you to re-enlist. Maybe come to this altar and say, God, I'm here for this church, for this pastor, for anybody in this congregation who needs me, needs some help. God, use me to be a blessing to them. As the music plays, you come if you need to come.
Trust the Lord has spoke to your heart tonight there where you stand or here at an altar. Just talk to the Lord. I know I have tonight. My heart's desire is I want to be a shepherd that is loving, that is leading, and that is laboring. And I pray that you would be willing to do those things with me. All right. If all hearts or minds are clear, you can look this way. Thank you so much, Brother Holt, Ms. Denise, for the hope for the mess. Why don't you guys make your way to the back so you can greet people as they come out, and they'll be heading out sometime tomorrow around noonday. I know they've got some rest done, some packing and some things in the morning and checking the vehicle before they pull out, but they'll be pulling out sometime tomorrow, and we appreciate their time with us. Look forward to their visit and again in the future, and I know we'll stay in contact, and I'll promise you while you're on the road I won't ask you about my pool. But I am so grateful. I hope y'all know he is exaggerating just a little bit. But we are so very grateful, not much, but a little bit. But we are grateful for their ministry. Let's continue to keep them in prayer. And today is Sunday night, and I'd like to meet with the men on Tuesday, and like to have maybe a short business meeting on Wednesday night after the service as well, in reference to their ministry and some other things, and just be brief on Wednesday night. So be prepared for that. All right, I'm going to make my way to the back as well. But it's so good to have you. Brother Leonard, would you lift your voice and dismiss us? Yes, Brother Cherry. Yes, Brother Cherry. Help me to remember we're going to sing that little chorus after every service at the end.